Hey everyone, welcome back to the Worn Shoes Podcast. My name is Zachary, and I interview people that have grown up around the world and learn about the extraordinary in their everyday lives. Today I'm talking with Nathan, who grew up in Kenya. We talk about his mental health struggles as he moved from Kenya to the United States and then back to Kenya, what it means to be gracious and to reach out to others. I do want to give a content warning to listeners. There's mild language and a heavy discussion around suicide, so please use discretion when listening to this episode. I hope that you guys enjoy our conversation. All right. Hey, Nathan. Welcome to the Worn Shoes Podcast. Hope you're doing well. How's it going?
Good. Yeah, thanks for having me. It's my first podcast. This is exciting.
Yeah. Fun stuff. Yeah, to start off, could you tell me a little bit about yourself and kind of, yeah, what you're doing, where you're at? And then, yeah, maybe where are some of the places that you would consider to be home / what does kind of that word mean to you?
Yeah, that's the always the question that you want to ask a PCK. I mean, I'm living in Kenya, in Nairobi, Kenya, which is also where I grew up, pretty much through high school, and then even about half of my college years I spent here. And I am recently engaged, and so kind of figuring out life together with my fiance and, you know, doing odd jobs for work, trying to figure out the legal system and, you know, trying to make sure I find legal ways to stay here, which is definitely the long-term goal. And I mean, in terms of, when I think about home, that's always been is maybe a little different. I know a lot of like TCKs have a pretty hard time answering that question. Where are you from? What's home? And I understand that. Obviously, like I have interacted with lots of other third culture kids for my whole life, having grown up, like, you know, overseas. My parents are missionaries, have been missionaries for almost 30 years. And so I know it's a hard question for a lot of people to answer. And I understand why, because it is like, you're just that, you're a third culture kid. You're in the kind of middle of a bunch of different cultures. I personally have, like, Kenya has always been home to me. Kenya's home now. It was definitely home growing up because it's what I knew up until I finished high school. I don't remember having as significant an identity crisis, I think, as some of my peers did. Like, when I went to the States, for college, and it was tough because you're leaving home. But I also, like, I was familiar enough with American culture that I don't remember having like this serious identity crisis of like, oh, am I moving back home or am I leaving home? Cause to me, it was always just like, no, I mean, I grew up in Kenya. I want to live my life in Kenya. That's kind of always been the aim for me. But it has, I mean, yeah, it's an interesting question because it changes all the time. And exactly how you see home also changes. Cause I think a lot of home is, as much as like Kenya is my home and that's a physical place, a lot of it is also about like who you surround yourself with, and home is,
yeah,
I mean, it's a cliche, but like it really is built by people. And so as like people have come and gone from Kenya, or I've come and gone from different places, you know, it takes constant kind of sorting out, to feel rooted somewhere. And I'm still working at that, even though I know Kenya is where I want to be. You know, I'm still trying to kind of reroute myself here, sort of on my own. My family doesn't live here anymore. My parents live in the States now. Pretty much all of my siblings are in the States. My one brother lives here now, but I don't know how long it takes to put out a podcast, but he might not be living here by the time the podcast, by the time this gets put out. So, you know, and then it'll just be, it will be weird. Cause it'll be like, you know, the life I'm used to in Kenya is growing up here and being here with my family. And obviously like it's easy for a place to feel like home when it's like, oh yeah, mom and dad are here and my siblings are here. And I've gone to school here for, you know, since I was in elementary school, but now kind of moving back here as an adult without my family being here and really having to like, it's like, oh, I know I want to be here, but it takes effort to like make a place your home. It takes, yeah, I mean, you really have to kind of commit to that. And that's, that's been a, committing to a place has been one of my big challenges over the years. And I'm, you know, I'm sure that comes from, a lot from growing up in kind of that in between cultures.
And I mean, kind of in that.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask kind of in line with kind of that growing up and really kind of seeing Kenya or Nairobi as this kind of constant home in your life. I was, going to ask kind of about some of your experiences growing up. You talked about going to school there. I mean, what was it kind of like? Because, I mean, when you were a little kid, you know, or a teenager or whatever, and kind of growing up in Kenya, how did that kind of constant of Kenya being your home kind of come to be?
I mean, so basically, I mean, my family, my parents moved to Kenya before I was born. They moved here in the early 90s. Okay. I was born in 97. So they were already, they had already kind of made a life for themselves here by the time I entered the picture. I wasn't actually born in Kenya, but that's, I was basically born in Kenya. And so, I mean, even like the first couple of years of my life up until I was maybe two or three, my family up to that point had been living out in the bush, hadn't not been living in Nairobi. And so even though I don't actually remember that time, just kind of as a little kid looking at pictures and watching home videos of like time when our family was in the bush, that immediately made me, that kind of gives you a sense of like, oh yeah, like this is, I belong here. Like this is, you know, I'm part of the land here, even though, again, I don't actually have memories from that time. And I don't want to insert my, white Anglo-Saxon, feet too strongly into the actual, the land here. That's that complicates things significantly. So we were up until I was about two, we lived in the bush, and then we spent maybe 4 years in the States before we moved back here and lived in Nairobi. So I was like six. And then from six to end of high school, we lived in Nairobi. We moved houses once, but like, it wasn't like, you know, we weren't, my parents aren't diplomats, so we weren't kind of constantly being re-shifted to different and moving all around the world. So once we came here and, you know, that was pretty much what I knew. And I think it was always my parents' intention is to at least be here until we'd all, me and all my siblings had like finished high school, which was a pretty, that was a long commitment for them at the time. But I think knowing that it was just like, well, you know, this is, even if it was a little unfamiliar at 6 years old, it was like, well, I know I like have been here before and this is where we're going to stay. So I think it was pretty easy to like, I don't know. I think it felt, I don't remember like moving to Kenya and being like, oh, I miss home because I don't know. I think in those 4 years in the States, one, I was really young. So like even like friendships I would have had, they wouldn't have been like really
right, you
know, super deep friendships or anything. if I even remember them. And I also, you know, we were living in like sort of temporary housing that was provided by, you know, a church that supported my parents. And so it wasn't even like our house, you know, it was the church's house.
Right.
And I knew that even at that age. And so I don't think it ever felt like super permanent. And so I think that did probably help once we moved back to Kenya, just because it didn't feel like I was being torn away from something that I was really like strongly attached to. And then it was, I mean, those first few years in Kenya were, I was homeschooled for the first 2 or 3 years with a couple of my siblings before. And then in fourth grade, I started attending a school, like a small Christian international school in Nairobi. And I graduated high school from that school. So it was like, I had a lot of constants for a long time, you know. The friends I made in like fourth grade were, some of them were like my best friends by the time I finished high school. Some of them are still some of my closest friends. So it was just like, I mean, people often ask like, oh, is that hard growing up outside of like your home country, outside of America? But it's like, well, if we had constantly been going back and forth for extended periods of time, that would have been hard. But like we were, we were really set in Kenya. All my friends were in Kenya. Obviously like I had friends come and go over the years, but like for the most part, my closest friends, they were all there for that whole time. So it was, you know, it was like,
Even just having like, you know, moving from two houses, just kind of that constant over like from fourth grade to high school. I mean,
And I mean, it was like,
that's really constant. We moved.
The first house we lived in, I had to take the bus to school, and the second house I didn't, but that was pretty much the difference. Like, okay, now I can walk to school. And that's, you know, and it's maybe a little nicer side of town than where we lived before.
Yeah.
But like, that was the whole, I mean, that was the difference. And like, that's really not a big thing. Cause I think, you know, you can really compare it to someone just living, you know, people who live in the States who like, oh, they lived in the same town until they went to college. Well, that's, I mean, I'm not, my experience was obviously different from that. It is different living in being like an American kid living in a big East African city where you're quite different.
Yeah.
You know, that's different from being an American kid living in a small town America. But in terms of just the constants, it was the same. You know, like I knew the place well. I knew who my friends were. I knew where they lived. You know, I saw them all the time, did the same things every weekend. It was only, you know, only every other summer, maybe we would go back to the States and I would be reminded that I have like extended family. I'm like, oh yeah, I have I have cousins and I have aunts and uncles. That's cool. I have grandparents. Yeah. Nice. But it was I don't remember it being like a really, I mean, Kenya's always been home to me, and I've I think it was always pretty easy being in Kenya. Maybe up until late high school when I started kind of other life issues came into the picture, and that just, you know, life becomes more complicated.
In general. I was gonna jump back real quick, but you kind of mentioned, you know, doing the same thing, you know, over the weekends and kind of having these constants. What were some of those things that you just kind of enjoyed doing in Kenya with your friends, some of your activities or hobbies?
I mean, so like I said, we lived in two houses in Nairobi, and the second house we lived in was literally like right down the road from where I went to school. And so we had our school had like, you know, football, like soccer fields and swimming pool. Mm-hmm. And it was a nicer, kind of a more accessible side of town. It was generally like the UN headquarters for Africa were like down the road from where we lived. And so it was a lot of expats and just generally a safer side of town. And so we would, I mean, once we moved houses, and I'd been going to school for a few years. And so like I had my friends, I mean, we would every weekend, we'd like me and a couple of my buddies would go over to school and play soccer and kick the ball around. And then we'd go jump in the pool. And then we'd, you know, go to the mall down the road and play mini golf and get frozen yogurt. And that was like every weekend, did the same thing. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
That was we were living the dream, truly.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
And that's, I mean, that even if, like through high school, that was a lot of that. I mean, unfortunately, the mini golf place closed, so that was no longer in the picture, which is a big bummer. But, you know, it was still just a lot of like playing football. Like me and most of my closer friends lived near the school, so it was easy just be like, go to someone's house or, again, usually we just go over and play football. We go kick the ball around. That was like how we, you know, we didn't have money, so we weren't going to like go out to eat all the time.
Right.
But we had football boots and we had footballs and football fields that we could use. So we'd go over there and that was how we spent time together. And I mean, that was in terms of free time. Football was, that was pretty much what I did.
That's kind of the,
once I started at school, I played like baseball when I was little, but once I went to school and was like, oh yeah, nobody else in this country even knows what baseball is. I should probably switch to a sport that other people play.
Yeah. Yeah. So just kind of really going out and playing football with your friends. I mean, just kind of, I feel like that reinforces kind of what you've been saying of just kind of this really, this constant in Kenya, and just kind of the speaks to the stability that you had of just kind of, you know, moving two houses, same school, frozen yogurt, mini golf, and, you know, football on the weekends. Yeah. That sounds awesome. You mentioned a little earlier kind of then going to high school and just kind of having other kind of life issues, you know, going through that. And I do know that eventually you moved back to the States for college. So would you mind sharing a little bit about maybe that later portion in high school and then, you know, moving, I won't say back to the States, but, you know, moving to the States and what that was like.
Yeah. So, I mean, once high school was kind of like when I really started having some significant like mental health struggles in high school, probably starting probably starting about ninth grade. And I was always sort of a melancholy kid. always very quiet, always very like introverted. And always very like hard on myself. But I think once I got to high school, then, you know, you're maturing and you're becoming more independent and wanting to make decisions, and you're just butting heads with more people, you know, whether it's your parents or your siblings or your peers.
Yeah.
There's just a lot more like tension and kind of conflict that you have to navigate as you kind of get into high school and get into your teenage years. And so I think, come ninth, 10th grade, I started really having some serious like bouts of depression, and depression, I guess, was the main thing at that point. And I didn't even, I don't think it was until maybe end of ninth grade that I really like saw a therapist and was like diagnosed with clinical depression. But it had kind of, I'd kind of been working my way up to that, I think, for a while. And I think it was just, it was a weird thing. Cause like I've already said so much about like everything was so constant. my friends, like my best friends through high school, were all the same. Many of them I'd been friends with since I was 9 or 10.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like there weren't like some huge life changes that happened that kind of caused some trauma or significant like psychological stress. I think it was just, like growing into life and kind of growing into myself and, I think just, I think gaining like introspection and thinking more inwardly than you do as a little kid and more critically, I think, really led me to some pretty dark places, through, and that continued through most of high school. I dated one girl in high school and that was, it was a high school relationship. So it was like awesome sometimes. And then also, like really terrible sometimes. And I had, I guess it was the beginning of my junior year was probably like the worst. I was in the worst place I had been, mentally at that point. And that the girl I'd been dating had, she had moved out of the country. She had moved to the States. So that, I mean, that was a significant life thing, you know, for a 15-year-old. But I think, again, you know, I mean, I think you could probably understand like how it is, like mental health things. A lot of times it's just like small things sort of building up on each other and eventually kind of boils over and you're just like, oh my God, how did I get here? And at that point it often just feels like, you know, you're kind of drowning. But I remember, starting my junior year of high school, I was just in a really bad place. And was those last 2 years of high school was probably the lowest point I've had, like in terms of relationship with my parents. Just like a lot of tension, a lot of kind of, you know, not like yelling, fighting, but fighting and headbutting and stuff. And just, you know, I wanted to do my own thing and, but I was still living in their house. So it was just hard. And it was the very beginning of that year that I attempted suicide for the first time. It was probably September, a month into the school year. Which, I mean, I've spent so much time thinking about it and like processing it in healthy and in unhealthy ways over the years since then that, like, it's not, I mean, I'm happy to, it's not hard for me to talk about, but it is like, you know, really hashing it out again is, it can be challenging, just to kind of remember that time. So that was, beginning, it was about a month into school and then it couldn't have been more than a couple weeks later that a friend of mine who had gone, who had lived in Kenya and had gone to school with me, like a year older than me, but had since moved to the States with his family a couple of years before, actually took his own life. And so that was like, and so, you know, that was, he was someone that like a lot of people in our school knew and, you know, were really good friends with. And so that, obviously that hit a lot of people very hard. And I think for me, I remember, I mean, I remember when we were told that he had died, it was, we had played football with him. And so, our chaplain came out at the end of one of our football practices just because he knew a lot of the guys on the team were friends with him and kind of sat us down and broke the news to us. And I remember going and like sitting up kind of in the common area that, you know, after practice with a couple of my friends and, you know, people are crying and just like in shock. And one of my friends says something to the extent of like, to me and another friend, he was like, just like, you guys just promised me like you'll never do that. And I just remember sitting there knowing that I had just almost done that 2-3 weeks prior, and sitting there and being terrified at the thought that I can't promise that to my friends. And I think going from my own experience to now knowing exactly what it's like to be on the other side of that and lose someone and go and see the impact of that was really heavy. And obviously, I wasn't stuck in that place for the remainder of my 2 years of high school, but that really weighed on me. That whole experience, my own experience immediately followed by that. And I think that fear I had from then on I think that was probably the first time I really saw that my mental struggles as almost a defect that I had. That was when I really first started seeing as I have a problem. I could cause a lot of damage to a lot of people with this. And that was all. That was a constant through high school. Kind of coming in and out of bouts of serious depression. Until finally, and then finally, like you said, I did, after graduating, I did go to the States to start college. And I did, I lasted one semester at my first school before dropping out and going back to Kenya for 6 months. And then after that, I went back to the States, and that's when I started Covenant. That's where we met.
We were roommates.
And I was still, we were roommates. They were roommates. the time when I moved to Covenant, in hindsight, Covenant, I should have known better. Covenant was never going to be a good place for me personally. It's not because I think it's a bad place, period. Not in any sense. Three of my sisters have gone or currently go there, and I think they generally had pretty positive experiences. Hindsight's always 20/20. But I mainly went there to play soccer. That was kind of my plan, and then injuries kind of prevented that from happening. And so then I just sort of felt like I had gotten. I think I felt a little bit like I'd gotten stuck at a place where I wasn't actually doing what I went there to do. And it was at a time, going to a conservative Christian school at a time in my life where I was very much on my way out of that culture and that community. And just asking a lot of questions and kind of being very critical of a lot of those things, but feeling like, oh, now I'm at this point where I'm really wrestling with these things and trying to figure my life out and trying to, I'm asking questions about the culture that I've grown up in. My parents were missionaries. So this is what I had known. And now I'm finally questioning it and trying to find some clarity, but I find myself in a place where I don't really feel like I can ask these questions here because I know the answers I'm going to get if I ask these questions in this space, and so that did not help my mental health either. I don't need to go explain this at great length because you were there. We shared a room. You know what it was like, it was a heavy time, I think, for both of us, that was rough. Those last few months of my time at Covenant before I finally dropped out, it was just I remember our, I mean, I don't, I'm not going to go into detail about either situation. But I remember one of our suite mates coming in, Matthew, coming in, mm-hmm. and we were kind of talking about what had been going on, the three of us. And I remember him saying, he was like, you know, I actually like, I don't know if you've noticed, but recently I have gone, I don't do my work in the room anymore. I go to the library and do my work, because when I walk in here, I like, I can feel like a darkness. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, that to me,
I remember that, that scared the shit out of me when he said that. I was like, because I think that that semester, for me was, when I had an attempt to take my life, and I ended up going back to Azerbaijan with my parents for a while. And and I remember being in Azerbaijan and just like texting with you, and I don't want to get ahead of your story, but that was when you kind of shared with me that you wouldn't be coming back to Covenant. And I was like, that was when I was really struggling with whether, with whether I should come back. Too. And I think I enjoyed getting to know you and being roommates, but I think there were also some, among other things, you know, there are some pretty significant issues for both of us when we were there.
But, oh yeah. That was a rough time. Yeah. I remember also, I think maybe one of the times I was going with whoever was like the RD at the time, I was, or she had like called me to like talk about kind of what was going on with me, what was going on with you.
Yeah.
I just remember saying something like, I sat down and she was like, Nathan, like, what is the deal with your room? Like, what's wrong with your room? I was like, dude, I don't know, but things are not going well there. That was not a time I look back on fondly at all. And I think it was extra. I think both of us being in a bad place and it happening at the same time, just like, you know, where neither of us were in a place to kind of like support each other. It was not a healthy environment at all.
Yeah.
But I mean, as you said, so I left maybe a week before the semester ended. That was like the fall semester. Yeah, I went back to Kenya, spent a couple months there trying to make a decision on what I was going to do. And it was, you know, probably around the turn of the year that I had kind of decided, along with my parents, that it was not in my best interest to return to Covenant. That's when I would have told you and our suite mates and stuff. I decided to go, we would go back to the States and I would go with my dad to a counseling center thing. It was kind of a weird, I don't even remember what it was called, but it was like, it wasn't a normal counseling center, because it was like something, it kind of specialized in like people who worked in the mission field, which was obviously interesting for me because, and you can relate to this, like, yeah, I understand that culture. I understand the industry, but like, I'm not a missionary. Yeah. I've never been a missionary. Mm-hmm. My parents are missionaries. Yeah. And so the things that I may be struggling with are not going to be the same as like probably most of the issues that they're dealing with.
It's different.
But it's different. But we went out there and spent, it was a residential thing, so it was in California. We spent probably a month and a half or 2 months out there. And I think I kind of told myself or convinced myself that it was doing something good for me. I think probably largely as a coping mechanism, just because I wanted to feel like something was improving. In truth, I don't think it was a great experience. I don't remember leaving there and being like, oh yeah, now I feel like I'm in a place to kind of kick on and start trying to get back into regular life. And I think it just kind of felt like once I had left, I think in many ways I actually felt more discouraging because I knew personally, I was like, well, I don't really feel any different. I don't feel better. But now I just spent 2 months living in a counseling place, doing, you know, meeting with a therapist every day, you know, 5 days a week, and I don't feel any different. I don't feel like I have my shit together any more than I did. And, you know, and pile that on with like, now I feel guilty because like my parents spent all this money for me to come here. And
yeah.
And so in some ways it probably made me feel, probably just kind of compounded some other feelings of like guilt or shame to what I already was dealing with. And that was when I went back to school, but at that point I just decided to go online, and that's how I eventually took about 2 years to finish. But in that time I did move back to Kenya while my parents were still living here, for about a year and a half, for like the last year and a half that they were here. And my hope had been, I'll move back, I'll finish my degree just in like right by the time that my parents are leaving, and that will mean that I'll be able to stay here and, you know, get a job and whatever.
Right.
But that was probably the worst time that I had living in Kenya when I moved back. That was right before kind of COVID started.
Right.
And it was very confusing for me because, you know, like every part of my body was like, yeah, I just need to go to Kenya. I need to go home. Mom and dad are there. It's, you know, it's just
right.
The physical place that I'm familiar with. That is what I need. I'll feel better. I'll feel, you know, things will improve. And because usually that was the case, but I think that time that just didn't happen. And I think I had these really high expectations that just moving to that place, moving to a familiar place would make this difference. Rather than
that going back to Kenya would just kind of the familiar and constant kind of aspect of that would kind of really
heal. I mean, or I think fix just the thought something. Of like, oh, I'm going home.
Yeah.
But that was, that was a really big, I mean, I guess I've already stressed a lot from the beginning of the podcast that, like, you know, Kenya is home and has always been home.
Right.
But it was going back that time. That was the first time that I really, like, I had to really think about, like, okay, like, what makes Kenya home? Like, why? I really started questioning like what Kenya meant to me at that point, because that year and a half there was just, it was rough. I mean, there were plenty of good times, and I did some, you know, I had some cool experiences in that time, but generally it was like very isolating. And going back when like none of my friends were there anymore because they were all in college or whatever.
Yeah.
I was just in a weird age where it was like, I wasn't really working. I wasn't going to make, it was hard to build relationships. And I also just, the place I was in, like, I didn't have the energy for it. I didn't have the bandwidth to like get to know people or let people get to know me.
Right.
And so by the time it came to like my younger sister graduating high school and my parents moving, at that point I was like, man, I really didn't want to be there. I was like, I'm so lonely here. And all of my efforts to like find work or some way to stay here afterwards, like all everything has fallen through. And I, at that point, I was like, I gotta get the hell out of here, which I had never felt before. And it was an unusual feeling. And I think that was probably when I most strongly felt like this sense of like, okay, home is, yeah, home is more about connection to people or a community or something, because that was the first time I'd been back to Kenya and hadn't had, my people weren't there. My, the people I expected to be there weren't there other than family.
Yeah.
And so that was pretty, that was tough. And we moved back to the States and I was mid 21. I lived in DC and worked for kind of that fall. And again, I mean, it was just the same thing. It had been the same. It was a pattern that had, ever since I finished high school, the pattern for me was like, okay, well, now I've left Kenya where I had all these constants. I had these friends. I had, you know, again, every weekend I was doing the same thing. I play football, go swimming, hang out with friends, watch football. That was it. And but it was like the same thing. And then once we graduated and now we're all spread out all over the States, all over the world, and I don't have any of those constants, the pattern just became kind of moving from place to place. I mean, like I said, the first college I went to, I was there for 6 months and then before I left, because I was like, and I think I probably always tell myself like, oh, that just, I left because the program that I was in wasn't right for me. And I wanted to, but like, and the truth is like, I just didn't feel connected there and I didn't, I wasn't in a space. I think this combination of like constant transition and the mental state that I was in and had been in and had like kind of let myself become accustomed to or used to was not conducive to building relationships and doing kind of the groundwork that it takes to root yourself in a new place. And so it was just constant. Like I'd move somewhere, spend a few months there, be like, I don't have any friends here and I don't have the energy to make friends. So, okay, I'll move back to Kenya because Kenya is always better. And then I'll move back there for a couple months. Maybe some of my friends are there depending on the time of year for a few weeks because they're like on break from school and then there's no one there. And then it's like, well, I got to go back to school. So then I'll, you know, and it's just, you know, I've never, even now, I mean, I've been in, back in Kenya for a little over a year. But I mean, I haven't spent more than about 16 or 18 months in one place since high school, because I'm I've just constantly been moving.
I wanted to kind of ask a couple questions kind of related to that. But I mean, you mentioned, you know, there's kind of a lot going on. I mean, you mentioned kind of the clinical depression diagnosis back in high school and then kind of going through that and then coming to the States and just constant transition, moving around as kind of a young adult from different schools due to, you know, maybe programs or not, you know, and then being at Covenant, just kind of the conservative Christian, you know, aspect, and then kind of moving with kind of the depression kind of being a constant there and then going back to Kenya and your family and friends not being there. And then you also kind of mentioned while you're at Covenant and then kind of transitioning, moving out of kind of the conservative Christian community and kind of all those things in conjuncture. Could you talk a little bit about kind of, maybe finding some of your identity within all of that and kind of how those things affected you, I guess, as you're working through that?
I mean, I don't know if I can speak about finding identity. I think I probably felt like I lost my identity in those years. Because I really, I had no clue. I had like no idea where I was supposed to be. I had no feeling of like, this is the direction I want to go. This is a place I want to be. And it was all, I mean, it was a constant, like, you know, in the seasons where I was kind of thinking about, oh, where, you know, where should I move? Where should I find work? Yeah. It was just always so easy for me to, like, kind of sort of think myself out of any idea of, like, moving anywhere, you know? Because I was like, oh, no, I can't, you know, I don't know enough people there. That'll be too hard. Or I don't have enough close friends there. That'll be too hard. Or I only have one best friend there. That'll be too hard. Or, you know, I had an endless...
Community was kind of like the big thing in your mind.
Yeah, in my mind, I was like, oh, I was like, I just needed community. That's all I need. Like, yeah. I was like, I can be happy wherever. It doesn't have to be Kenya. I can be happy in the States. I just have to find a community. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't willing to I wasn't able to put in the effort to find that community and to create that community. Because, like, it's, you know, it's not just gonna, it doesn't just happen. And so to me, I was like, it was always just like, oh yeah, it'd be an easy decision to choose where to live. If only, you know, all of my best friends lived in the same place, then I just move there and that'd be easy, which,
right.
Sure. That's that. I think anyone would say that, but like, that's not often the case.
Yeah.
And particularly for people like us who, you know, we grew up overseas, and especially once you finish high school or kind of get to into your teens, like people, you get spread out all over.
All over the world.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I was. So it was just, it's just like, it's not, I mean, it's not really possible for everyone to just be in the same place. I mean, it's hard enough just to get people to like visit each other and be in the same place for like 3 days at a time, much less everyone to happen to live in the same area, because everyone's lives are so different. And so I think, I mean, that I knew, or I thought I knew what I needed, which was this feeling of community. And I think that is a big part of what I needed, but I don't think I really understood what that meant and what that took to get there at the time. And so it was just a lot of like, the only place that I felt like fairly safe or at least comfortable was at home. So I was like, well, you know, if I'm going to have to depend on someone else, even if it's okay, maybe sometimes I felt embarrassed that like, oh, I'm 20, you know, I'm 23, 24 living at home, which really isn't that big of a deal, but it felt like a big deal. I was embarrassed. You know, I was like embarrassed about it, but then I was like, well, at least I'm used to, you know, having to get help from mom and dad or whoever. So like, at least I'm not adding other people to this list of like all the people that I feel indebted to or something. So I just kind of stayed home. I'd move from like my sister's house to my parents' house and back to my sister's house. And and it was all those years, basically post high school, starting in high school, but particularly once all the transition and moving started, after high school, and all of the kind of identity crisis and confusion that came with that, it was just like, it was all one big downward spiral. It felt like, where it was just like, I was constantly beating myself down in many ways. And it got to the point where, again, this was now just over two years ago, I kind of got to the point again where I felt like I had no options, and I made a second attempt on my life. I was March 22. And that one was like, I mean, that was obviously like, it was awful. Like, I was in an awful place. I went to I spent pretty much a week in a mental hospital in South Georgia to make it even worse. I mean, I don't know if any of your, the people who listen to your podcast are from South Georgia, and I mean no offense if they are, but South Georgia is the pits, much less being in a mental hospital in South Georgia. But I spent a night in the emergency room and then got like kind of carted off to the a mental hospital for a week, and that was a harsh realization, but it also coming out of that, that was when I was like, I mean, obviously with my parents' encouragement, but just on my own, I was like, I really like, this is not something, I have to do something drastic to kind of change the trajectory of my life and sort of where I'm going and how I'm doing things. And so I eventually went to, after a couple months of kind of being on a waiting list, I went and spent about a month and a half, maybe 2 months at another like kind of mental health treatment, residential treatment center program in Atlanta. But this one was like way, way better than it was. I mean, it just wasn't, it wasn't comparable to the first one I got to, cause it wasn't a Christian conference center. So I wasn't like having to deal with sort of the baggage that I was, you know, all this stuff that I was trying to like process. The philosophies and theologies I was trying to shake and process. And it's just more professional, and it was still hard. It took, I don't know that I made a final decision. My parents were like, oh, we'll let you make the final decision on whether you go. We're not going to force you to go, even though they obviously wanted me to. But I mean, I don't think it was probably not until with less than a week before I was supposed to go that I was like, okay, yeah, I'll do it. And even then I was like, I'll commit to, you know, 3 weeks and then I'll decide after that if I want to stay there or not. But that it did end up, it wasn't perfect. I mean, there's no kind of, I don't know, method of or treatment in terms of therapy that's like fits everybody. But it was, I think just being, when you talk about community, being in a place where I'm like living with and doing sessions, it was very group session based. And so doing all these sessions with other people who are not experiencing the exact same problems as me, but, you know, can relate to most of the feelings that I'm having. And I can relate to the feelings that they're expressing and the places that they're coming from. That was like, I mean, that was huge for me to, I think that was the first time that I was like, I didn't feel totally isolated in kind of my my mental health struggles. And it was just like, I mean, that, you know, that you couldn't hide it there. Everyone was there for a reason. And we all knew generally why people were there. You know, you didn't know everyone's life story, but like, you know, if someone came, if someone showed up and was like, oh, I'm doing great, you know, like you can only wear that mask for about not at all because you're there. So it's like, well, you're obviously not, but that's okay. Like that's why we're all here. And so that was actually, that was a generally a very positive experience. As much as I was like, I mean, I was really ready to get out when I got out. But it was a pretty transformative time there. And then, and that was kind of, that was halfway through 2022 by then. And you know, I lived the rest of that year in, I lived with my parents in Georgia and had a some part-time jobs. But that was, it was coming out of that and the progress I had made and like the continuing therapy that I did after that, that allowed me, that brought me back, that brought me not even back, that brought me to the place where I was like, okay, Kenya feels like the right place now. I'm kind of seeing, I'm remembering what some of the things that made Kenya home now. And obviously, like my now fiance and she had kind of, we had reconnected, I mean, before all of that had happened, but like,
yeah,
having a really close friend and someone that I felt, really known by and trusted, knowing that she was in Kenya as well, I think all of that kind of got me to the place where I was like, okay, I feel ready to move back to Kenya. Like, this feels like a good time to do it. Even though, like, I didn't have family there, which was, it was unusual. That would be the first time, I mean, last year was the first time I came back here and my parents weren't living here. I came back and I didn't go and stay at my house. Someone else is living in my house right now.
Yeah.
And it's not my house anymore.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
I was just going to ask, I mean, moving back to Kenya, where, like, you kind of finally got to this place where you felt like your fiance's there and, just kind of getting this treatment. I was just going to ask, moving back to Kenya and just kind of where you're at now in terms of, just kind of your life and mental health and being back, you know, quote unquote home.
I mean, I mentioned this like before we started, before we were recording, but like this last year, it's had its challenges for sure. Just being in, and I mean, I'm more than happy to like talk about some of that as well. Just being in, an American, being in a foreign national in a country, even though it's, I consider this place my home, being legally a foreigner here comes with many, many challenges just in terms of like trying to live here, because I can't just go to any, I can't just go get any job or whatever I want. You know, it's a long legal process to do all that. So the last year is, you know, it's been full of difficulties kind of facing different things like that. But I have, I mean, it's really been, overall, it's been a great year for me. Like I can confidently say it has been like the best year I've had, at least in the last, I mean, probably since early high school, at least, which is like, I mean, just the fact that like, I can admit that to myself, I think.
Yeah.
That in and of itself is significant, because I think for a long time, you know, in the years prior to this, even when I was in a better place, there was a part of me that was just like, you know, okay, yeah, I feel okay now, but like, this is just temporary. Like, I know I'm gonna fall back. And I'm going to go back to like the norm. I'm going to go back to the way I'm supposed to be, which is how I kind of thought about it. And I wouldn't even admit to myself like, oh yeah, I'm doing well now. And it took pretty much until the end of last year for me to really be like, oh yeah, no, I've been pretty good since I came to Kenya. And I remember my whole family came back here over this past Christmas, and I remember having it might have been like Christmas night or Christmas Eve night or something. We were all kind of sitting together, and you know, people were kind of reflecting on their year, their past year.
Yeah.
And you know, as is the human experience, you know you're constantly facing hardships and dealing with all sorts of things and transitions. And especially, I mean, I have four siblings who are all also TCKs. And so like finding, roots somewhere and confident transition. Like it's a struggle for everyone. And it was a big year of transition, but I remember it coming to like, I wouldn't want to talk in a group setting, even with my family. But like, I remember my mom like asked, she was like, "Oh, Nathan, I know you probably hate to be asked this, but like, do you want to say anything about like share anything about your year?" And I remember I almost felt guilty because, you know, some of my siblings had talked about like pretty hard stuff they'd had to go through. And I was just like, you know, honestly, like I'm chilling, man. Like this year has been like not easy, but like, it's been easy for compared to what I'm used to. I think in some ways I almost felt bad just because it was like, I shouldn't, you know, it shouldn't be easy, but I think I've just been like, it has just been like a year of, I think my mom described it as like a year, having a year of rest, a period of rest, where it's just like, I've spent so long, so many years in my head and like battling myself, and my ego and my identity and being constantly, constantly thinking about myself and the situation I'm in, that now this past year has just kind of been, I've sort of spent it up on this sort of the surface level, which I don't want to live there all the time because there's incredible depth to life and I want to experience that. But I think, having this conversation with my mom, like she helped me realize, she was like, no, like this is something you deserve, like a period of rest and kind of lightness and just taking things off your shoulders and, you know, letting it be. Like you don't have to be constantly in the depths of things, whether, you know, in a positive or negative way. And that was helpful for me because I was like, oh, I don't want to feel like I'm, you know, just now trying to cruise through life, not thinking about things in a meaningful way. But like, I think you just need seasons of that. Where you allow yourself to give yourself a break. And I think that's what this last year has been. And now obviously there are lots of challenges in the near future, as you know, look at getting married and just life together and stuff like that. And everything that comes with that. But I think, at this point I feel ready for that, more ready than I would have at any point in the last 5-6 years for sure.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, that's really good to hear. And I mean, thanks for sharing about some of those, really hard things. I appreciate it. I don't think that, I don't know if there's a way to wrap things up in a pretty bow with, you know, a thing. And, but I don't know, is there, I really like what you said about kind of this season of rest after kind of almost years of just, dealing with heavy, really things and lots of introspection and deep thoughts. And like you said, there is beauty in enjoying life and deeply and experiencing it and thinking and feeling deeply. But this kind of time of rest, and I just kind of really like what you said there. And I agree, but is there anything that you would kind of, I don't know, say to
wrap it up with
people that are out there, you know, listening? The TCK experience with mental health, moving back.
Transition is a bitch. I'll say that. whether you think you can handle it or not, like easily, like it's just hard. It's hard to change places and change people. And I think having community and finding community is so important for that. But I also recognize that it's, it really is work. And sometimes it's hard to, you're just not always in a place to be able to do that. So I think part of what it's made me realize is now being in a better place where I feel like I have gone through some pretty dark, isolated periods. I now feel like I'm in a place where like I can recognize that in someone else. If I see someone else who's kind of in my circle or in my, or kind of an adjacent circle who seems to be sort of struggling through the same things that I did, I think really knowing that and taking the effort to like kind of extend a hand to them and just, I mean, that, it's the small things that really go, they can go so far. Just like, you know, sending someone a random voice note, just, you know, where now they know that you thought of them, or that you're, you know, that you know, you want to hang out or you, whatever, like those small things can make such a big difference to someone who's in the middle of a transition. Cause often, I mean, my own experience, it can be hard to like extend yourself, put yourself out there when you feel like you're on your own in a new place. And so to have another person or other people kind of invite you in to a community that maybe exists already is, I mean, that can really make such a huge difference. And so I think this isn't so much advice to like, or words to people who are currently in the middle of transition, but more like an encouragement to people who have experienced that and know how difficult it can be, just to like take note of people, like, you know how hard it can be. So take note of people around you who you think are going through the same thing and kind of extend an invitation to them. Just, I mean, it's just make them feel included. That's honestly, I think that's the main, that's
inviting the main thing
people
in. The power of inviting people into community is, it's really strong.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning into this episode. I know it was a bit of a heavier one. I just wanted to say that I'm still learning and improving my podcasting skills, so feel free to share any feedback and anything that you would like to see on the show. I'm continuing to improve and build on what I have here, so let me know if there's anything you would like to see or any suggestions. Go check out our Instagram and Facebook page where I post updates for upcoming episodes and anything else that's going on. The next episode will come out the end of August, so be sure to check that out. Thank you all for your continued support, and tune in next time at the Worn Shoes Podcast.